Now what? That's the question we've been asking. The aim, what is it? We've graduated from school. The aim is to not graduate from Jesus. That is, we want to keep trusting Him. We want to keep living for Him. We want to keep going in Him. And so as we think this week about now what, as we think about the rest of our lives, we're thinking about the question of purpose and meaning and where we find it. The first night we saw that purpose and meaning are ultimately found where? In Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, we were made by Jesus and we were made for Jesus. No matter where you look, no matter where you try to find purpose and meaning between now and when you die, ultimate meaning and ultimate purpose is found in Jesus. And so we've been looking at a bunch of G's, and the first G we looked at was that we glorify, our ultimate purpose is that we glorify Jesus in everything. That is, we seek to worship Him, we seek to honor Him, we seek to praise Him, we seek to live for Him in everything. And that covers every area of our lives, that covers every area of our thought life, that covers every area of our computer life, that covers everything, all our relationships, everything is governed by the fact that our ultimate purpose is to glorify Jesus. And so under that big overarching purpose of glorifying Jesus, we've got a whole bunch of other G's. And so the first one is what? I'm going to try that again. The first one is what?
Gather.
Next one? Grow. Next one?
Give.
Next one?
Gospel.
And then the underarching one is?
Promise.
Okay, so our overarching purpose is that we glorify God. We do that as we gather as His people. We've been gathered by Jesus' blood. We do that as we grow up in Jesus so that we're no longer infants, but we become mature in Him. And today we're going to look at the fact that we glorify Jesus as we give, as we do ministry, as we serve Jesus, and as we serve one another. And tomorrow we'll look at the gospel. We'll be reminded of the gospel, and we'll be reminded of the need to proclaim the gospel and proclaim the good news that Jesus died and rose again. And our attitude in all of that isn't some dryness, isn't some apathy, isn't some, oh, if I have to. It's one of joy. It's one of delight. We're to rejoice in Jesus in everything, in the good times and in the bad times. And so today we're going to be thinking about how it is that we go about giving in ministry. And as I've said the last few days, this isn't new stuff, I hope. And so for most of you, the message is keep on going. Keep on living for Jesus. Keep on serving each other. Keep on serving Jesus. But for some of you, it might be the case that it's time to start. It's time to start glorifying, growing, gathering, giving, gospeling, gladnessing. It might be time to start. And so let me urge you, as we think about these things, as we think about now what, to not waste your life. Whatever you do between now and when you die, don't waste your life. Don't give up on Jesus. And so I guess the question we're going to ask as we look at Ephesians and as we think about giving, as we think about ministry, is just simply, how can I do it? How can I give of myself in service of Jesus? How can I give of myself in service of His people? That's basically the question we're going to ask. It's not a hugely difficult question. And we're going to ask this. And as we think about it, the first thing I want you to have in mind as we think about giving, as we think about ministry and how to serve, is the foundation. This is pretty much the same in every talk. And this is the same, it should be the same in every area of your life. The foundation for everything is Jesus. The foundation for giving in ministry, the foundation for why we serve is Jesus. And so 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, have a look at it. 1 John, keep your finger in Ephesians, but 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Says, 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. The foundation for giving, the foundation for our ministry, the foundation for our giving of ourselves is first and foremost Jesus giving of Himself. You got that? Don't forget that. Just like yesterday, it's not that we live differently that makes us a Christian. It's that Jesus died for us and we're saved by grace. That is how we are made a Christian, and then we live differently. We don't do ministry because we think God's going to be happy and then going to accept us into heaven. No, we're accepted into heaven. We're welcome into God's family because of Jesus and the giving of Himself first and foremost. Jesus laid down His life for us. You don't need to look this one up, but it's a good memory verse one to have. Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, says that Jesus, the Son of Man, what does it say? He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus is the foundation for what it looks like to do ministry, what it looks like to give in service of others, because Jesus came to do that. That was Jesus' mission. He came as the King of the entire universe, the Creator of all things. And why did Jesus come? Not to be served, but to serve and to give himself up, to lay his life down as a ransom for many. Now, I just want you to imagine for a second, you've finished school, and so you probably don't want to imagine wearing your school uniform ever again. You don't really want to imagine being on an assembly, standing in lines and listening to a boring principal or whatever it might be. Well, I want you to just imagine one more time. You're wearing your school uniform. You're there in the quadrangle or on the oval or in the hall or wherever it might be. And today's a particularly special day, because this particular day at your school, you have one of the most incredible and most famous and most powerful and most prestigious guests you could ever have in your school. The Queen of Australia is in your school. That's the Queen of England, because she's our queen. We're Commonwealth of Australia. We still have a queen, a monarchy that rules us, whatever she really does. But imagine that the Queen's there in your school. You're dressed up in your uniform. You may have actually been told that you had to clean your shoes, especially on that particular day. You had to have your hair cut. You had to have all the piercings taken out or whatever it might be. You're there, presentable, ready to go. And imagine you were one of the 20 students chosen to stand in front of the assembly and to meet the Queen. And she's doing her thing, doing the handshake thing, and she's working her way along. Can you imagine the Queen of England getting to you, stooping down, hiking up a skirt, stooping down, grabbing a bucket of water, taking off your shoes, dunking your foot in the bucket of water, and cleaning your feet? Cleaning all that little jammy stuff out from between your toes and under your toenails. Can you imagine the Queen doing that? Hand up if you can. It's a weird picture. If you've got that picture in your head, Elliot, that's weird. Get rid of that picture from your head. And I think Tim almost had the picture in his head too. But the queens don't do that, do they? That's not what we expect kings and queens to do. We don't expect Prince Frederick of Denmark, when he becomes the king, we don't expect him to go around to all the people in his country and stoop down and wash their feet. We don't expect that type of thing from kings and queens. But do you know what Jesus does? That is what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to stoop down and to wash our feet, wash his disciples' feet. We see it in John chapter 13. Jesus comes to serve in a dirty, humiliating, stinky, smelly, ugly type of way. That is the king we're talking about. We're not just talking about some king of England, king of Australia, king of Denmark. We're talking about the king of the universe. And he gives us a picture of what the greatest king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, looks like. And he is a servant king. And in following the servant king, we're actually called to serve him, to serve like him. And so 1 John 3:16, you notice the first half, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What's the second half? And we, Christians, John is writing to a bunch of Christians, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. We ought to serve in a costly way, like how Jesus served. He gave his life up on the cross in serving us, in bringing the forgiveness of sins. And we are to be those who serve in a way like that. And that's a huge call. That is actually a radical call on the Christian life. You've grown up in schools where, you've grown up even in families where you've been taught to think everything revolves around you. You've been taught to think that you are important people. Most of you will go to university. Most of you could well be powerful people, important people, big money earners in a country that is very wealthy. You're very important people. But if you're a Christian, you're called first and foremost not to be big and powerful and rich and famous and have everyone revolve around you. You're called to be a servant. And I just want to show you once again Jesus. And always start there with Jesus. that before we think about how we give of ourselves, let's be reminded of Him and how He's given Himself. And so for some of us, that might mean we actually need to come under His Lordship. Maybe you're still serving yourself. Maybe you're still gratifying your own desires. Maybe you're still living in sin and ignoring your Creator, ignoring your Redeemer. And so maybe the best thing you can hear in this talk is not start doing stuff, start serving people. It might simply be start trusting Jesus. And if you hear that now and do that now, that'll be a good outcome. And then later on, we can talk about with you what it will look like to serve. But there's the foundation for giving. It's Jesus. The second thing I want to show you, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We've seen over the last couple of days, we saw in the second day that Jesus has gathered us as the one people. The two warring parties have been brought together to one another and together to Jesus, reconciled to God. That dividing wall of hostility has been broken down. And so we are now one body. And so the way Ephesians and other New Testament books describe it is that Christians are one body with many gifts. Christians are one body with many gifts. And so you can see that again in chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. You just see the one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. There's this oneness. We are one. We've been gathered as one body. And Jesus has given gifts to that body, to His body, to His church. Have a look at chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. What's it saying? It's saying that Jesus has given gifts to His people. Jesus has graciously given gifts to His people. It's not by anything you've done. It's not because you're impressive. It's because He is kind. But each of us, if you're part of His body, if you belong to Jesus, if you're one of His people, you have been gifted. You have been gifted by God. And the truth is that there are many gifts. And so we don't all have to be able to do the same thing. We don't have to all have the same talents and abilities. We don't have to all do the same ministries. We don't have to all serve in the same ways. There'll be some of you who'll be good at some things and suck at other things. There'll be some of you who suck at other things and good at some things, and whatever it might be. The truth is that God has given many gifts. Jesus has given many gifts to His church, generously given them, and He's given them out of His kindness. Now, what are some of those gifts? That's a good question to ask, because as you think about, if part of the Christian life and if part of bringing glory to Jesus is serving, you want to think through how, and you want to think through what are some of the ways. I don't think the Bible has an exhaustive list of here are all the possible ways you can serve. But there's a bunch, and we're going to read through a couple really quickly just to give you a broad sweep of some ways that the Bible mentions, but we could come up with a whole bunch of other ways likewise that we could serve. So very quickly, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, it says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. There's a bunch. There's a bunch of gifts that Jesus has given to His body. Have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Romans 12, go back another couple of pages. Romans 12, verse 6. We have different gifts, verse 6, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Again, a bunch of gifts that God has given to his people. There's a variety of them. Let's go to one more list. 1 Peter chapter 4. There's a couple other lists, but three will do. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter chapter 4 verse 10. It says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Jesus has given a whole bunch of gifts, and if you've got gifts, you're to use them. If you're a Christian, you're to use them. If you're a Christian, you're to serve, you're to build up, you're to encourage, you're to exercise the gifts you've been given as God has generously given them to you. Ultimately, for what end? For the praise of his glory, that Jesus would be praised. Not you, not that you do stuff that people will see it and go, wow, you are incredible, but as you serve, people will go, wow, Jesus is incredible. The glory is for him, not for us. The glory belongs to him, not to us. And so, back in Ephesians, we'll keep working through there in a moment. But the point is, there's many gifts. There's not just a few. There's many different gifts. There's many ways you can serve. You personally have uniquely been gifted by God. And God's purpose for you, between now and when Jesus returns or when you die, is that you use them. Is that you serve. And the best picture of this is the picture of the body, which you see in 1 Corinthians 12. We see it here in Ephesians chapter 4. It's this magnificent picture of the human body. That's the language that keeps getting used. And what's the picture of the body? Well, I've got one body, but I've got many different parts and different functions. My butt does something different from my elbow. Either of them are bad to get in your face. My hand does something different from my head. My feet do something different from my knees. My lower left back isn't really working properly at the moment. We've got bodies with a whole bunch of different parts, and they have all different functions. But what do? They work together as the one body. And so I can walk. So I can talk at the same time as I can walk. So I can maybe throw a ball as I walk and I talk at the same time. And my body functions in that type of way. Your bodies function in that type of way. And that is the picture of the Christians. We are one body. There's many different parts. That means we don't all do the same thing. We don't all have the same function, but we're all part of the one body. Let me urge you just to recognize that and to recognize that you're part of a body. You've been given gifts. They're not all the same, but each one of us has been gifted and each one of you have been gifted. I guess the question to think through now is then, why have we been gifted? Why have you been given the gifts that you've got? Why has God been generous? Why has Jesus been kind to you in giving you gifts? And we see in Ephesians chapter 4 that the gifts, this is point number 3, have been given to grow the church. The gifts that Jesus brings, the gifts that Jesus gives have been given that we build each other up, that we serve each other, that the church grows, that together we grow up. And so, some of the stuff there in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, some of those gifts, why have they been given? Have a look at verse 12. So we've just had the stuff read out in verse 11. Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so the picture is that those gifts have been given that the body of Christ may be built up. And all gifts ultimately have been given that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the end goal of our service of one another? It's maturity. We serve each other to help each other mature, to help each other grow and become more like Jesus. Verse 14, then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Can you see the picture? The point is, you've been gifted, and if you belong to Jesus, you now belong to one another, and then you therefore have a responsibility to use your gifts for the maturity of others around you, to build other people up, to spur one another on, to encourage each other to keep living for Jesus, to serve in all manner of different ways that we are mature, that we grow up into our head, Jesus, the head of our body. Now, we looked at yesterday the idea of growing and this purpose of giving ourselves in ministry, in service of one another, is that we help each other to grow. But it also ties into the day before with gather. Remember that story I finished with about the super awesome soldier, the SAS troops and how they train? What was the point of that? Is part of the reason why we gather is that we can together push each other along. We can give in service of each other. We can push each other along to help each other to grow. And we do that as we use the gifts that God has given us. You do that as you use the gifts God has given you. And so, we've been uniquely gifted by God. You've been uniquely gifted by God. You've been given those gifts to serve others, to build up the body, to keep building it and making it more and more solid and sturdy and strong and mature, no longer infants, but mature and complete. That's why we've been given gifts. And so the fourth and final thing to talk about is, how do I know my gifts? Like, that's the natural question that leads on, isn't it? You are supposed to serve. You're supposed to use your gifts. Jesus has given you gifts. We see that multiple times. It says God has given gifts to his people. And so how do you know your gifts? Some of you, it might be obvious. You know, there might be just things that it's obvious the way that you've been uniquely gifted. There's things that you may have shown in perhaps leadership throughout school that show something of the gifts God has given you. It might be that it's obvious that you're hospitable. You can't help but make people a cup of tea when they come into your room here on camp. You can't help but warmly welcome people. Hospitality is a gift from God. It might be just that you are super duper encouraging. You just can't help but have words that come out of your mouth to build other people up. And it's just obvious. You might be the encouraging one. Like, everyone knows you're an encouraging one. It might be that you're really good in handling the Bible, and you're able to explain the Bible. So maybe you'd be good as a Bible study leader, or maybe good at giving a Bible talk, or just talking to the person beside you as you're doing a quiet time and talking about stuff. You might be a teacher. There's a whole bunch of things that, you know, it might be obvious in the ways that you've been gifted. But for some of you, my guess is, yeah, I really haven't had much of an opportunity yet as well to really test yourself and to see how you've been gifted. And so it might take a little bit of time to work out what your gifts are. It might take a little bit of trial and error. It might take a little bit of trying to do stuff, just popping your head up and say, I'll help out with that. There's a need. Yeah, I'll help out with that. Let me in. Let me help out with that. And you might quickly learn that you suck at some stuff, but other things, you might learn that you've been uniquely gifted in those areas, and you should use those gifts to build up the church, to build up your brothers, to build up your sisters, that we'd all be mature, that we'd all be complete. And when we think about ministry, when we think about using our gifts, it's not just in the upfront type of ways. It's not giving a talk. It's not having to play the guitar. It's not leading a Bible study. It's not being the head leader of something. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about ministry and giving. There's a whole bunch of ways that you can serve in ministry, which are just simply ways of... the way I like to think of ministry is that ministry is when you inconvenience yourself. You put yourself out for the sake of others. And there's just heaps of ways you can be inconvenienced for the sake of others. It could be simply taking the rubbish out, or stacking chairs, or welcoming new people at church. It would be pretty cool just to go and talk to your friends every week, but it's a good thing to welcome new people at church. In a sense, you're inconveniencing yourself, but you're doing it for the sake of others. You're doing it for the sake of the body. You're doing it for the sake of not yourself, but the building up of other people. It could be cleaning up a mess that you haven't made. It could be just doing things that no one sees, but God sees. Just little things could be ministry and could be serving and could be ways that you can express something of the gifts that God has given you. Now, as we think about your gifts, there might be things that are obvious. There might be things that take a little bit of time for you to discover. Again, let me encourage you to pop your hand up. There's sort of three main ways I reckon you can give, and sort of three areas broadly. Number one, you can give of your time. Number two, you can give of your talents. And number three, you can give of your treasure. Your time, your talents, and your treasure. And so, if you're about to go to uni, number one, you are going to have a lot of time. Unless you do one of those silly degrees where they make you turn up all the time and where they make you do lots of work. Even those people, you will have more time, generally speaking, than you've had for the last few years as you've been preparing for the HSC. You'll have more freedom. You will actually, you might even work out it might be wise to skip that class. And that might be a good thing to do. Don't say that you heard that from me. But you're going to have lots of time. So now that, if you're about to go to uni, use that time. Because once you finish uni and head back into the workforce, you're not going to have that same time. And so the university years are invaluable for just doing ministry and just getting involved and getting trained and getting equipped to be able to do stuff and just try a whole bunch of things. You might quickly work out you can't do 150 things a week, and it might take you a little while to work that out. That's okay. Pull back from a few things and you'll be working out how you can spend your time and how you can use your time to honor Jesus and to serve his people. So let me encourage you to do that. If you're going to be hitting up a uni campus next year, get involved with the uni Christian group. Get involved with the stuff that's happening there. Get trained there, get equipped there, serve there. There's a place that you can take your non-Christian friends that you meet at uni along to. Talents, we've been talking about talents. That's just the gifts that we've been given and using them. Working out that you're gifted in certain ways and using those gifts, using those talents you've got, using those abilities. You know what? I was talking to Scott over the last couple of days. There's things he's told me about skills and talents people have at Christchurch. We're not talking about you guys necessarily, but don't let this be you guys. Skills and talents that people at 6:45 have, or at morning church at St. Ives, and they have these incredible skills that they use in the workforce that they wouldn't really be that hard for them to use to do stuff for youth group or for church or whatever it might be. But when they're asked, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. They're not actually willing to use the talents they've been given, the skills, the abilities they've been given to grow God's kingdom. Yeah, they might be short on time, and so that might well be a good reason that they may not be doing something. But we've got to be willing, when we know we've got gifts, when we know we've got talents, to use them. So let me encourage you to be one of those people. And think about yourself less as someone who is just a consumer, but also a contributor. So that when you go to church, when you think about your uni Christian groups, when you think about your small group Bible study, you're thinking not just what can I get, what can I get, what can I get, what can I get, but what can I give, what can I give, how can I serve, how can I minister to other people. The final thing there was treasure. You will probably start earning a little bit more money, and if you haven't yet got into the habit of giving money, it's good to do it now. If you're going to hit Oz Study or Youth Allowance or be working a couple of days a week or have a cadetship or whatever it might be, make sure that you're getting in the habit of giving of your treasure, of your money, but also other resources. It might be that you've got a good space that you can use to welcome people and host people and show hospitality and all sorts of things. We could talk forever about all these things and the ways that you can serve, but make sure you're using your time, your talents and your treasure, not just for yourself, but for the building up of God's people, for the growth of others. And just before we finish, I think there's probably, as you're about to leave school, I reckon there's probably three main areas to think about in think of where you can do ministry. The first and most obvious one is church. Most of you, I'm guessing, will still be at Christchurch. Some of you might move away to other places and you might be part of another church. But get involved at church. pop your hand up. Say, yeah, I'll come along. I'll put my hand up for that. It might be being part of youth ministry. It might be part of children's ministry. It might be part of stuff that happens at 6:45. It might simply be just thinking about where you're going to sit when you turn up to church. And not always sitting with the same crew, but maybe sitting with people who are new or people who just look like no one ever really sits with them. That could be your job. That could be a good thing to do to encourage those people. But church is an obvious place, both formal ministries and informal ministries. As I've already said, uni is another obvious place that you'll be able to serve. And the third one is external camps and missions and stuff like that. It may not actually be too late to actually hop on some summer camps or some summer missions or something like that. There's beach missions I know that are still looking for people to come along to them. If you want to find out about those, talk to your leaders and I'm sure they can hook you up with a camp or a mission or something like that that you can serve in over summer. But there's plenty of other camps and missions that will happen over the next however many years. Well, as we close, let me tell you a quick story about a man who died a long time ago. His name was Copernicus. His first name was Nicholas. And in the 1500s, he was a bit of a nutty dude, according to lots of people. Why was he a nutty dude? He said something incredibly crazy. He said that rather than the world being at the Earth, planet Earth being at the center of our solar system, he said that actually the sun was at the center of the solar system. And people thought this dude was a nut. This dude was almost killed because of his scientific claims that that is how the universe was operating. What have we since worked out? He was pretty right, yeah? That as far as our solar system, the sun is the thing that's at the middle, and the Earth is revolving around the sun. You got that? What I want to encourage you to do as we think about giving in ministry is to have a Copernican revolution of sorts. What do I mean by that? I mean, recognize that you aren't actually at the center of the universe. Recognize that the universe wasn't put in place to serve you. Recognize that Jesus is the one who's at the center of the universe. We are to serve him, the one who served us. And we are to be those who serve others. And seriously, this is radical. It may not be radical to you because you've heard it for years. But to the rest of the world, this is radical. We're taught it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. No, it's about Jesus and it's about others before it's about us. And so let me encourage you as we think about our purpose, as you think about what you're going to do from now until Jesus returns or until you die, let me urge you to see that Jesus is at the center. Serve him. Serve his people. How can you give in service of others? Recognize that that's God's purpose for you. Recognize that Jesus has given you gifts. And recognize that those gifts have been given to you that you can build one another up. Now, there's a book called Don't Waste Your Life. I'd encourage you to read it. It's by John Piper. But there's a quote in there that it's a famous quote. And I'm just going to close with this quote. And the quote is, "There's only one life which will soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last." I'll give it to you again. "There's only one life which will soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last." I just urge you not to waste your life, to recognize how small your life is, and to use your short time here on earth to serve Jesus and to serve his people. How about we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus who served us. We praise you for him, and we pray that we would keep clinging to him, that we would keep trusting him, that we would keep worshiping him, that we would bring glory and honor to him. Please help us to do that as we give of our time, our talent, and our treasures. Help us to be generous with all of them. And please help us to see that your purpose for us is that we give of ourselves in ministry. Please help us to make the most of our short time here on the planet and to use our time for things that will last forever. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.